This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, so what are some of the things that we can do to cure the hardness of the heart? Okay, or how do we go about softening our heart? First and foremost is getting to know Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? One of the misconceptions that we have is that it is not possible to know God. Right? It's not possible to know Allah. Right? This is actually not true at all. Right? We as Muslims, we know Allah by the way Allah has described Himself. Right? And we have ways to get to know Allah. Right? So if you go through the Quran, you'll see Allah has so many descriptions. Allah is Ghafur, Allah is Rahim, etc., etc. This is how we get to know Allah. The names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Likewise, if you go through the Sunnah of the Prophet, you will find that it's very easy to get to know Allah Azza wa Jalla. Right? And this is an issue of knowledge. Increasing yourself in knowledge. Right? If we learn more about our religion, we will get to know Allah Azza wa Jalla. If we study the Quran, the Sunnah, etc., etc., we increase our Islamic knowledge, you'll find that you will get to know your Lord. And in the end of the day, a lot of people claim to love Allah. A lot of people say, yeah, I love Allah, God is great, and all this kind of stuff. But the one who really loves Allah is the one who has spent time getting to know Allah Azza wa Jalla. Right? And this is why you'll find that it's very hard to love somebody that you don't know. So if you don't know somebody, you may like them, but in order to truly love someone, you have to really get to know them. And this is why, like, if you look at married couples, for example, when they first get married, right? People are like, yeah, I love you, it's all that great, the honeymoon phase and all that kind of stuff. They feel like they really love each other, which, yeah, there is a certain amount of love that Allah has placed in a newly married couple. However, that love does not compare to the love that a couple has after like 30 or 40 years when they have lived together and they've really gotten to know each other. They've made sacrifices for one another. They've been patient with one another. They've put up with one another. And they know the ins and outs of one another. That type of love that exists after 30 years, that is true love. Right? And obviously, like we said, Allah has the highest example. If we want to love Allah, we have to really get to know Allah. Right? And that is, if we do that, if we get to know Allah Azza wa Jal, you'll find that automatically it will begin to soften your heart and you will get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Secondly, as I mentioned, one of the main issues that causes our heart to get hard is ignoring death. So obviously the cure to that is to remember death. Right? As the Prophet said, أَكْثِرُ مِن ذِكْرِ حَادَ مِنَ الذَّاتِ. He said, increase in remembering the destroyer of desires, he said, الموت, which is death. Right? So making a conscious effort to remind yourself that you can die. To remind yourself that your life is not permanent. Remind yourself that you don't actually know when you're going to die. And this is why a lot of people, if they think about the fact, you know, and I usually like to say this in my lectures because it kind of makes things real. Right? If you think about the fact that this could be the very last thing you do on earth, it will soften your heart. Right? So think about the fact that, and may Allah protect us, that this could be the last thing that you're doing on earth. There may be someone who doesn't make it till tomorrow. Right? It may be that, for even for myself, this may be the last lecture that I ever give. It may be the last time I ever come to the masjid. Right? Allahu a'lam. Allah knows, right? I don't know that. This may be our last week. This may be our last month. Right? Or even for the close ones around us, we don't know how long they're going to live. And this is why when somebody usually dies, you know, it's very rare, unless somebody's been like sick or whatever, it's very rare that someone's like, yep, I know it's going to happen. I was expecting it to happen on that day. Obviously, nobody says that. It's always a shock. And this is why when somebody usually dies, people always say, oh my God, it was such a shock for me. Right? I was so shocked. Why were you shocked? Because we just forgot that in the end of the day, we belong to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah can take us away at any moment. Right? And this is why the Prophet said that it destroys our desires. Any like unlawful desires that we have, right? If we remember the fact that, listen, before I commit this sin, I could die in like a moment. Right? That's a very powerful thing to think about. Like right when you're in like the throes of a sin, for example. Say somebody's about to commit a sin. If they were to simply stop for a moment, pause, and say, you know what? I could die during this sin. That's a very powerful thing to get them to stop, to stop that sin. Right? And this is why the more we remember death, the more it will soften our hearts towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Number three. Building a deep connection with the Qur'an. Right? When we begin to abandon the Qur'an, Right? When the Quran simply becomes something that we hear during Ramadan, or we'll play it on the CD player or MP3 player or whatever, if that's all the Quran, some people don't even do that, right? But let's say that's our only exposure to the Quran, right? We're leading a path where eventually we'll begin to just leave off the Quran altogether. Right? If we don't have that relationship with the Quran, and by the way, when I say relationship with the Quran, I don't mean, like I said, not just listening. I mean listening, paying attention to the Quran, and hearing what Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying. Understanding the meanings of the Quran. Contemplating the Quran. Pondering over the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Thinking about how the ayat of the Lord relate to you as an individual. Right? That's pondering the Quran. That is having a relationship with the Quran. Simply just reading the Quran once in a while, or just hearing it once in a while, that's not really having a relationship with the Quran. Having a relationship with the Quran means you spend time with the Quran. Tajlis ma'al Quran. You sit with the Quran. Right? And you have a relationship with it. Right? You think about it. You ponder over it. You think about how these ayahs relate to me. What do they have to do with me as an individual? Right? Think about the fact that this is Allah Azza wa Jal speaking to mankind. Right? That is what we call having a relationship with the Quran, as Allah Azza wa Jalla told us, أَنَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبُ. That is, by the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find rest. Right? And the more we recite the Quran, the more we think about the Quran, the more relationship we have with the Quran, the softer our hearts will become. Number four, private acts of worship. So these are those acts of worship that nobody else sees. And one of the best examples of this is getting up in the night and praying. Right? So somebody who wakes up in the middle of the night and prays, or wakes up in the last third of the night and they pray, this is a private act of worship. And this is actually very beautiful, because this is an act of worship that it is impossible for someone to do it for other than Allah. Right? Somebody prays their regular prayer, especially if they're in the masjid or whatever, they may be praying to show off. Or they may be praying because people are watching them. They may be praying because this or that reason. Right? But when you get up in the last third of the night, and there's nobody else around, right? It's just you and Allah. At that point, there's no possible way for you to show off. Right? There's no other reason for you to be praying this prayer. Right? So now this becomes a private act of worship in which your sincerity will be at 100%. Right? And the issue of sincerity is actually a very serious issue which deserves a lecture on its own. But being sincere in our acts of ibadah, that is the type of ibadah where your sincerity is never in question. Right, when you get up in the middle of the night, it's just you and Allah, and there's nobody else. You're only doing this for the sake of Allah. Likewise, things like giving charity in private, when nobody, not a single soul knows that you have given this money in charity, there's no question that your intention is pure, that you did it for the sake of Allah, because there's nobody knows. Right? These are the private acts of worship. When we start to do these acts of worship that are private, right, that are just between us and Allah, this will also soften the heart. Number five, dua, dhikr, and istighfar. Right? Making dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that they think dua is just to benefit their dunya. Right? So they say, oh, Allah grant me this, grant me that, whatever. What they don't realize is that simply the act of making dua increases our iman and softens our hearts. Right? Just the fact that we are calling out to Allah, just the fact that we're humbling ourselves before Allah and saying, oh Allah, grant me this or grant me that. This act is an act of humbling yourself, and just the act of making dua can raise your iman and soften your heart. And this is why the Prophet said, he said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." He said, dua is ibadah. Meaning the essence of our ibadah is dua. This is an issue that a lot of people don't really think about. What are you actually doing when you make dua? Like, what is the act happening here? What's actually happening here is that you are saying, oh Allah, I know that I'm weak and you are strong. I know that I'm incapable and you are capable. And I know that all affairs are with you. You're in control of all affairs. And when you're in this type of state, this type of spiritual state, this is when you begin to soften your heart. And this is why the Prophet said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Du'a is ibadah. Likewise, dhikr has the same effect. And istighfar. Once again, when a person seeks forgiveness from Allah, they're admitting that they require the forgiveness of Allah. And simply that act of admitting that, simply admitting that you need Allah's forgiveness, will soften your heart and make you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Number six, think about the blessings of Allah. Right? And this is an exercise that is very easy to do. The only issue is, like, do we do it or not? Or how often we do it? And you can actually take like any portion of your life and start to think about the blessing of Allah. So even like I mentioned before, you look at just the body, right? And you look at just your own body, look at your two hands, and you realize, SubhanAllah, this is a blessing from Allah. How would my life be without my two hands? Or my eyesight? Or my ability to hear? Right? Or my ability to think and ponder? All of these are blessings from Allah. The fact that I have food to eat tonight is a blessing from Allah. The fact that somebody's not going to murder me, inshallah ta'ala, on my way home, right? My house is pretty much safe. I think we all pretty much live in pretty safe neighborhoods, right? Everybody lives in a suburb over here, right? Pretty much our lives are pretty safe, right? Compared, I mean, there's people who live on a daily basis, they fear for their lives. For example, people in war-torn countries and things like that, on a daily basis, they don't know whether they're going to be killed or not, right? They don't know if they're going to be shot or bombed or whatever. That's how they live their life. The fact that you live your life where you feel safe is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the reality is, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. As Allah said, if you try to count the blessings of Allah, meaning try to enumerate them, see exactly how many they are, you will be incapable of doing so, because there are so many. Right? But when we begin to do this, this begins to soften our heart. Number seven, sitting and being around the right people. As I mentioned, the opposite of this before, sitting around the wrong people. Sitting around the right people can soften your heart. Simply being around the right type of people can soften your heart. And one of the tricks of shaytan is to tell you that, you know, if your iman is suffering, if you're feeling weak, you're not feeling like the strongest Muslims, strongest Muslim, he will tell you, you need time for yourself. He'll get you to isolate yourself. Right? Be like, no, just sit, just stay on your own, stay away from people. Right? You need time to think and all this kind of stuff. Because he wants you to be away from the people who can actually raise your iman. What shaitan doesn't want you to know is simply sitting with people who have high iman, simply sitting with people who are righteous and pious, simply the action of being there, meaning you doing absolutely nothing, just sitting. Just that act can raise your iman, can soften your heart, it can bring you closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is why it's very, very important who we pick to be around us, the type of people that we sit with, the type of people we spend time with. SubhanAllah, a lot of times people, they'll attend like a Friday night lecture, right? Or any lecture, and they'll spend like an hour listening to a lecture, and with other people, mashallah, like this gathering, for example, everyone here is here for goodness to listen to a lecture, alhamdulillah. So they'll spend like an hour, for example, at a lecture, and they'll go home and be like, wow, that was amazing. I spent an hour around good people. But compare that to the amount of hours you spent among the wrong people, right? And if there is like, if it's inconsistent, like if the time that you spend in a lecture, which is great, alhamdulillah, but if it's only 1 hour compared to like the 8 hours you spend around the wrong type of people, of course it's going to affect your iman. Of course it's going to have an effect on you. Of course your heart's going to become hard, right? So in order to change that, you need to spend time around the right people. I'm not just talking about listening to lectures or always doing something which is pious, because that's not what I mean. I mean even like just doing something which is fun, right? Even just relaxing, but with the right people, right? That can make a difference. And this is why the Prophet said that stay away from spending long amounts of time speaking without ever mentioning Allah. Because that makes the heart hard. That makes the heart hard, right? Sitting around talking for long periods of time and Allah is never mentioned, right? When you're sitting with the right people, you will notice that Allah will be mentioned. You may be eating this like you may go out to dinner, or you may do something fun, but the fact that Allah was mentioned at some point puts barakah in your gathering. So now the simple act of just hanging out, having fun, or whatever, playing basketball, whatever it is, like I said, it's not about attending a lecture, or going and praying, or something like that. I'm talking about just having fun. But having fun with the right people, that can soften your heart and make you a better Muslim. Number eight. Doing things for others, meaning not just doing stuff for yourself. So we live in a type of society where it's all about us as an individual, right? That's just the type of society we live in. Like, I need to take care of myself, I need to take care of my own, and that's it. That's one of the tricks of shaitan as well, right? To be like, listen, just take care of yourself, make sure you're okay, right? What Islam tells us is the opposite. And this is why the Prophet said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. He said that none of you will truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. And this is a hadith that I know all of us have heard. Like, we all hear this constantly. And it's one of those hadith that is easy to talk about, but very difficult to implement. Right? The fact that if you think about your life goals and what you want in your life, wanting that for your brother or your sister, right? The Prophet said that is how your iman becomes proper. Right? That if you really want to soften your heart, start doing things for other people. And actually, even psychologists talk about this issue. They say, if you want to live a fulfilling life, right, start doing charitable actions, start doing things for other people. Alhamdulillah, this is something Islam has already told us. Right? That in order to soften our hearts, in order for us to fill our spiritual void, the spiritual void we have, the spiritual sickness that I was talking about in the beginning of this lecture, start doing things for other people. Right? Start being a little selfless. Start helping other people. So let's say you want something for yourself. Think about the people around you who don't have that and be like, I want this for you as well. So that's that action of living your life in a way where you are serving other people or helping other people, doing things for the sake of other people, right? Just helping people for no other reason, right? Than just to get close to Allah. This is an action that will soften your heart. Right? And this is why this if you look at the sunnah, over and over again, the sunnah of the Prophet encourages us to do things for other people, whether it's feeding other people, giving gifts to other people, helping other people, when a guest comes to your house, taking care of the guest. Right? All these things involve other people. Right? And that's the type of religion we have, which involves other people, serving other people, doing things for other people, and stepping away from always doing things for ourselves. Right? And the reason why we find that in the sunnah is because the sunnah, implementing the sunnah, is how we obviously soften our hearts. Number nine is taking an account of yourself. Right? Having an honest discussion with yourself about your own life and your lifestyle. Right? The issue is, a lot of us, this is the exact opposite of ghafla, of heedlessness that I talked about before. So the opposite of ghafla is to be aware, right? So look at your life and say, you know, what am I doing to soften my heart? How, like for these 10 things that I'm mentioning now, how many of these 10 things do I do on a daily basis, for example, right? And that is what is known as muhasabah in Arabic, right? Where you take an account for yourself, right? You look at your life and take a realistic account and say, in my life, this is what I do for myself, this is what I do for others. This is how much time I spend in the Quran. This is how much time I spend doing other things. This is how much time I spend increasing my knowledge. This is how much time I spend doing my ibadah. Looking at your life realistically, right? And one of the things that scholars talk about is self-admonition, right? Being able to tell yourself when you're doing something wrong. This is actually a blessing from Allah, the one who has that capability, right? Because some people, when they do something wrong, they'll convince themselves there's nothing wrong. They'll say, yeah, it's okay, right? The ability to tell yourself, basically stand up to yourself and tell yourself that this is wrong, this is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla, right? And this is something that doesn't happen overnight, something that just takes practice. And that leads to my last point, which is constantly struggling with your nafs, right? Meaning it's not going to happen overnight, it's not a quick fix, right? The issue of softening your heart or keeping your heart soft is not something that's going to happen in one night. Right? It's something that requires us to struggle constantly until the day we die. Right? And this is one of the things, that another trick of shaitan is to convince us that either we're good or we're bad. Right? That if it didn't get fixed overnight, then you're just a bad Muslim. You're just a bad person. There's no hope for you. Right? Shaitan doesn't want you to understand that it's about the struggle. It's about living our life and we're constantly struggling with these issues. We're not, like I said before, we're not expected to be perfect. We're not expected to be the perfect Muslim, never commits a sin, never does anything wrong. However, we are expected to struggle. But that is what our life is about, struggling with your nafs. And the more we struggle with our nafs, the more we will be able to soften our heart. And this is why the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, where she said, that the Prophet said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَلَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. That the most beloved actions to Allah are those which are done consistently, even if they're small. In the end of the day, the difference between a winner and a loser is consistency. Realize that it's not an overnight fix. It takes time and it takes consistency. Like I said, this is one of the tricks of shaitan to convince you that either you're a good Muslim or a bad Muslim. Anyone who is a bad Muslim can become a good Muslim if they just take the right steps. And anyone who is a good Muslim can fall into becoming a bad Muslim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Subhanahu wa bihamdik. Shalom, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Barakallahu.